folks, and welcome to Leaky Weekly, on the show where we dive into the last week or so of news in the world of data leaks, cybercrime, and the dark web. Now, before we get started, a quick disclaimer that a lot of what we talk about are claims from journalists in very emerging stories or from threat actors themselves. A lot of the times, these claims can end up being exaggerated, undersold, oversold, or outright made up. So please take all claims and stories with a healthy degree of skepticism. Now, with that said, I'm your host, Nick. There is absolutely nothing on these papers, and let's get into our first story. Okay, for our first story, this one's a doozy. 2.9 billion personal records have been leaked from National Public Data, or NPD, a data aggregator that sells background checks. NPD has acknowledged and confirmed the leak and said they are cooperating with law enforcement. So your first reaction to this story probably is, and probably should be, 2.9 billion people? Are you serious? Now, also, all of the conversations surrounding this is that the data only concerns people in the U.S., the U.K., and Canada. And then simultaneously that somehow 2.9 billion people have been implicated. So let's address the 2.9 billion pound elephant in the room. The combined population of the U.S., U.K., and Canada is like 450 million people. So, no, 2.9 billion people are not implicated in this incident. There may be tens of millions implicated, maybe more. But when you start throwing out insane numbers of that magnitude, it kind of loses all meaning. Now, there are several really good write-ups on this. Brian Krebs has a great one. Troy Hunt has a great one. I encourage you to read both of those. And in Troy Hunt's reporting, he found that one person in this leak might be represented several times. In the data for like each unique address they have, for example. So that should help explain how a file ends up reaching 2.9 billion records. These are all just individual data points you can think about it. What was leaked in the 2.9 billion records? Now, some of the records contain personal information and social security numbers. Some of them contain other data points about the individual, like their address. Many of the data points were found to be deceased people. And many are repeats with very, very small variations, which Troy Hunt found when looking at his own records, that many of them were also just flat out wrong. So is this a large data leak? Absolutely. Does it affect 37% of the global population? Not even close. Interestingly enough, we have seen this data set listed before. We saw it for sale on XSS in April. We saw a small subset of it for sale on LeakBase. And then we saw it listed by well-known breach forums user USDOD for $3.5 million, which is when it really gained critical mass as a story. And then later on, most recently, and I'm not sure why, maybe an unsuccessful sale, maybe some other reason, the dataset was just given away for free, presumably after having circulated already a couple times between the likes of the person who listed it originally, SXUL, and USDOD, and you know, probably others in their network. So the big news here is that the big leak that USDOD posted in April for sale was just listed for free by a different user. That's the story. And to add insult to injury, there was already a class action lawsuit forming when USDOD had listed the sale originally. And that was before the dataset was made public for anyone to download freely. So people are just now starting to parse through the data and produce insights. So let's wait and see if we can get an official count of how many people are actually implicated in the data for, you know, accounting for inaccurate records, repeats, and deceased people. And we'll see how it progresses. And for our next story, the Dispossessor ransomware operation has been repossessed by the FBI and all of its domains seized. Three of its servers were hosted in the US, three in the UK, and 18 in Germany. Now, this is kind of an interesting event because Dispossessor does have some of its own victims, or at least victims that can't be traced back to other ransomware groups. And specifically, the FBI said in their press release that they found 43 victims of the gang, and they had many hundreds of leaks posted on their data leak site. So I imply from that that of the hundreds they posted, 43 were actually their victims in the end, and the rest were reposts from other ransomware groups' data leak sites. Now, back in March, Ransom Feed News said that 328 of the 332 claims originally listed were reposts, meaning that at the time of, you know, original publication, only two of them were new claims. So A majority of the victims posted to its site were just one-to-one copies at the time from existing Lockbit victims, meaning at first they were kind of just an extortion group, maybe just even an aggregator, in that they had the data listed on their servers that had already been claimed by other groups, which they claim was useful because it was no longer subject to the availability restrictions of Lockbit. Ransom Feed News also pointed out that a lot of their victims were repeats from other groups, not just Lockbit. And the group claims to be ex-affiliates of Lockbit. On their data leak site are copies from Clop, 8Base, Cactus, Snatch, and Hunters International, among a few others. It said that after the angry Lockbit developer leaked their encryptor, a dispossessor picked it up and started using it. That's presumably when its own victim count started to pick up. One of the domains seized in the operation was redhatcipher.com, along with cybernewsint.com and cybertube.video, which were all kind of like fake cybersecurity news sites. An oddly similar domain, redhotcyber.com, is still online, I don't think is affiliated with their infrastructure, and hosts an interview with Dispossessor that is so LLM-generated, it will melt your brain. The first three paragraphs are basically them saying hello. It's all like, we appreciate your wonderful interest in this mutual discussion experience, which we will share together at this time, as well as subsequently in this moment. So, I don't know, a very strange situation all around. Don't read the interview, it's crazy. And we'll keep an eye on this one to see if any other law enforcement operations actually result in arrests of people in the gang, or if the seizure, you know, means they'll pop back up soon. Now, for a smaller story that we've heard a million times before, 78,540 members of LeakBase had their usernames and some basic user metadata listed on breach forums, according to Dark Web Informer. Now, nothing really substantial here, but the reason we've seen this a million times is because forums are constantly hacking each other's member databases back and forth ad nauseum and posting them on each other's forums. So it's kind of a beef as old as time. In this case, I'm not aware of any public spout between breached and leak-based. In fact, in our first story of the NPD database, a subsection of that data was posted for sale by USDOD on leak-base. USDOD, by the way, is a prominent and well-known member of breach forums, who also considered starting his own forum after the original breach forums or the most recent breach forum shutdown. So another one bites the dust, I guess, but not really. It was kind of just usernames and IDs. So maybe one day the forums will stop fighting each other, but not today. And for our final story, JP Morgan and JP Morgan were arrested by the National Crime Agency in the UK after being identified as the culprits behind the Reviton ransomware group, whose victims would pay them out of their JP Morgan accounts. Okay, part of that was a joke. The victims paid out of whatever bank accounts that they used at whatever banks. But the first part is serious. JP Morgan is the alias of the first culprit, who has not yet been named by the National Crime Agency. And the other JP Morgan was a Belarusian national who was arrested for his involvement in the group. So they both went by JP Morgan separately. Now, Mr. Morgan and Mr. Morgan operated not only the Reviton ransomware group, but also ransomware cartel, and famously were involved in the Angler exploit kit. So collectively, these guys had extorted millions and millions of dollars from a wide variety of victims. Four other members of the group were arrested, specifically those suspected of also being involved in the Angler exploit kit, and 15 of their employees out of the office they operated in Ukraine, which was raided. So this is kind of crazy because the Angler exploit kit has been around since like 2013. It was doing sandbox evasion before most ransomware affiliates had even been born. In Cisco's 2015 mid-year report, they said 2015. In their 2015 mid-year report, they said that Angler accounted for 40% of user penetration in cyber attacks observed so far. So back then, it was the leader in exploit kits. A lot of early ransomware used it, like CryptoWall, Tesla Crypt, TorrentLocker, and a lot of old banking Trojans like Tinba used it, botnets used it. It was truly very popular. So this is a pretty major arrest in malware history, and it's still sort of developing in that the identity of JP Morgan number one has not yet been made public by law enforcement. Some experts from Twitter chimed in, saying things like, damn, it's a shame he didn't run off in his car. They could have had a JP Morgan chase. Outstanding. And bruh, he's been on my phone this whole time. Well, that does it for today's show. As a reminder, all of the stories we discussed, the sources are listed below. And this show was brought to you by Flare, the world's easiest to use and most comprehensive cybercrime database that integrates into your security program in 30 minutes. Sign up for our free trial linked in the description below to try it yourself. Thanks again, and I will see you next week or so.